gonna cross that Calvary, where he shed his all for the sinner. Hallelujah, I've been set free. Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. That precious blood did run so free. It covers all that will accept him, and we'll all live eternally. Oh, the precious blood of Jesus on the cross at Calvary, we shed it all for the sinner. Hallelujah, I've been set free since I met the blessed Savior. I have no fear now in my soul, for I know that He'll walk with me. That precious blood that laid me whole. Oh, the precious blood of Jesus on the cross at Calvary, where He shed it all for the sinner. Hallelujah, I've been set free. Now time is passing oh so quickly, and I know soon that You'll call, but I'm prepared to meet my Jesus. Oh, the precious blood of Jesus on the cross at Calvary, we're shedding all for the sinner. Hallelujah, I've been set free. Yes, hallelujah, I've been set free.
And to live when God's amazing grace came in, I just began to live. Old things have passed away.
I have a
bright way. My dreams recorded up above. I just began to live.
I was thinking about the Bible conference coming up. Turn me down just a hair, brother. Not that much. And I was wondering what we're going to do. Let's really be praying. I don't think the bell will fall or anything. But we're expecting a lot of people come in. And you'll probably have to come early to get a good seat. And we're going to be asking a lot of people to probably sit up in the choir around here or out yonder or somewhere. And so you be praying about that. The Lord will help us to, just be able to get everybody in and be able to rejoice. And that's a problem. That's a problem all preachers like to have. It is a problem, though. And we want you to be praying about that. And ask the Lord to bless, and we'll probably be asking some of you to maybe park at the Ramble Rack, some places somewhere like that week, so we can, our visitors, if we still got our parking lot to all pieces, you know, right now, what little bit of parking lot we got full of junk and stuff, and there's nowhere to park. And I'm going to try to get them fellas to clear that off down there, if we can, clear all that off down there so we can use it that week. So I wish you'd pray about that. It worries me every time we have something. That people won't be able to park. I just talked to a couple the other night, and said, when y'all gonna come to church? They said, we came the other morning, drove around, couldn't find nowhere to park, and went to another church. And that's happened two or three times, just not in the not too far past. So let's pray about that. And also, you that come all the time, instead of being hoggish for the best parking places, you might want to think about somebody else and maybe park in a little worse spot, so the visitors who don't know all these little trick spots that we found here and yonder might get the easy places. So that might be something, you know, we want to think about, and especially with the Bible conference coming up. If you come all the time, you got these little holes you know you can usually get in, but a visitor don't know about them. I want you to take your Bible tonight and turn to the book of Genesis chapter 10. Book of Genesis chapter 10. We'll ask for the Lord's blessings on the offering in just a minute. We'll read the scripture. Appreciate you giving tonight. I hope you've done what the Lord wanted you to. And I guess now's a good time to say, is it any? We're going to have to, I think, probably have a big offering day on our homecoming, our anniversary. The church will be 9 years old the first Sunday in March. That's our anniversary. And probably we're going to be planning another big offering day. Now, I hate to do that as much as you hate to hear it, but we're going to have to do that probably once and maybe again. by the time the building's finished, I'll tell you what we want to do. We want to be able to finish the building, put everything in it, and finish it at the, you know, to start with. You don't want to move in something that 3/4 done. I want it all to be finished and the parking lot paved and that before we ever move in. It'd be foolish to put down new carpet and floors and move in with just a mud hole for a parking lot. I'm sure you'd agree with that, don't you? So what we're going to try to do is have enough money in the building fund by the time the building's finished to go ahead and pave all the parking lot so that, you know, it won't ruin the floors when we're moving the new church. And so I want you to be praying about that. And I know that most people here in our church, we just live from week to week. I'd say 99% of the people in here just make it from payday to payday. There's no, we ain't got money stashed away like a lot of people have. And so I'm asking you to pray, and let's all try to do our part. I'll try to sacrifice. And you might want to pray about this income tax time. You might want to pray about doing something special for the church like we did last year. And maybe we can raise enough money to take care of the loose ends by the time the building's finished. So don't forget about that and pray for it. I believe the Lord will meet the need if we'll pray. Genesis 10. Might need to get me down just a hair, brother, on one of these. I'm going to bring you a message tonight that the Lord put on my heart as I was reading just the other day. By the way, how are y'all doing on your Bible reading? Anybody gave up yet? Whizzing right along through Genesis, I guess. Maybe already in Exodus. Amen. How about New Testament? Mark, somewhere along in there. You done finished New Testament this year?
No.
Oh. Amen. Amen. How many of you started anew and afresh the 1st of January? I did. I tried to. All right. Appreciate that. I hope you'll just keep right on sailing right on through there. I just come across this just reading it the other day, and a lot of times that's when the Lord deals with my heart about a message. I don't know how other preachers get their messages, and I'm willing to get them from anywhere I can. Sometimes I get them from other preachers. Sometimes I get them out of a book. I ain't ashamed to tell you. Sometimes I get them out off a tape. If somebody's got something good I can use, I use it. If it's the Lord's, it ain't theirs. But sometimes I'm just reading the Bible, and something just jumps out at me. And this fella here jumped out at me as I was reading Genesis 10, and I'm going to preach a message on this old boy. And I doubt, I don't know if anybody's ever preached a message on this fella. And he's in Genesis chapter 10, verse 6. Genesis chapter 10 and verse 6. Matter of fact, I had to look up his name in the Strong's Concordance to find out how to pronounce it. Look at verse 6. And the sons of Ham, Cush and Mizraim, and Foot. See old Foot right there? And Canaan. Now, I didn't know if that was Put or Pahut or Foot or Foot. And I looked it up in my Strong's Concordance, and it's pronounced Foot. F-U-T. And then in another place, it had this same man referring to him over in Chronicles or somewhere, and it called his name just Put. P-U-T. But here, the H is silent. I mean, like Philadelphia. Now, the P and the H turns into an F. And his name is Foot. And I just, somehow or another, I'm not trying to be funny, really. It just struck my heart and stayed on my mind. And I just thought, and I thought, I wonder who Foot was. You never hear nothing about him. You never read nothing great about him in the Bible. Right there he is in Genesis 10 with Noah. Everybody knows Noah. I got up here and said, I'm going to preach on Noah. Everybody in the church that was could even talk would know who I was going to preach about. Many of you know about Cush and Nimrod, the mighty hunter, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. All of them's in Genesis 10. But who in the world's Foot? He's just a nobody. What's he doing in there? You go in the average church and say, how many of you know where Foot is in the Bible? Nobody will know. Nobody knows. Tell me how many songs you ever heard sung about him. How many books you ever heard? Well, you don't know nothing about him. He's just a nobody. Now, I want to preach a message tonight to the Christian people and ask you a question as a church. Are you willing to be a nobody? Are you willing to be a nobody? Let's bow our heads while we pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for the privilege and opportunity we have bow in Your presence and call You our Father. Lord, we know that You've been good to us better than we deserve. Lord, if You marked iniquities, who would stand? God, if You counted our sins, we'd never even be able to live. But I'm glad You said that we can come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may find mercy and grace to help in a time of need. Our Father, tonight we come before the throne of grace, confessing all of our wicked ways, our thoughts, our attitude, our action, everything about us that's wrong or sinful. We ask You to cleanse us and wash us right now in the blood of Jesus. Now, dear Lord, as we come to this thought that I believe that You've given us, I pray You'd help us to think clearly. And Lord, may the Holy Spirit give us clear thinking and words to say tonight that would take the message and put it in the heart of some child of God tonight and work in our church. Help us to be what we ought to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'll preach to you tonight on the subject, are you willing to be a nobody? Now you take somebody like old Foote here in the Bible. Nobody ever heard of him. To the average Baptist or Methodist or Presbyterian, you ask anybody in the congregation to stand and tell you what book of the Bible Foote's in, and I doubt if there'd be anybody could tell you. He was just, as far as we know, a nobody. Now I believe old Foote lived a normal life. I don't know that. I don't know if he's saved or lost. I hope he was saved. I know who some of his ancestors were and some of his descendants were. I don't know if he had any kids he had. I don't know what part of the country necessarily he lived in all the time. We know that he had part of the country named after him over there, I believe in Nehemiah or one of the books on him, First Chronicles somewhere. But anyway, old Foote lived a normal life. He grew up. He lived day by day. He ate. He drank. He slept. I mean, he was a human being. And when you read those Old Testament names, you look at them like they're statistics. And you look at them like, just so-and-so and so-and-so. And a lot of times you forget that they were people with feelings. They got sick. They cried. It hurt them when they got their heart broke. And they probably prayed. They had bills to pay. They had to make a living. Just like me and you. The vast majority of people never rise to stardom, never stick out and become a celebrity. The vast majority of people on this earth are, as far as the world concerned, and statistics are concerned, are basically a nobody. Now I want to ask you a question tonight. Are you willing to be a nobody? When you go into a kid's class and say, I'm going to tell you about Foote today, they don't get excited. They don't say, oh boy, I love that story. They never heard tell of him. They don't care anything about him. But he was in the Bible, and the Holy Spirit recorded this man's name in the Word of God. We don't know anything about him, except we know one thing. He wasn't very famous in the Word of God. Now, the reason I'm preaching this message, I believe the Lord give it to me, and the reason I am is because when you read chapter 10, you hear Noah, you hear Shem, you hear Ham, you hear Japheth, you hear Nimrod, you hear about Cush, you hear about them. Boy, when you read those names, something clicks inside of you. When you read Nimrod, you think something. When you read Cush, you think something. When you read Japheth, you think something. When you read Shem, you think something. When you read Noah, you think something. But you can just read over Foote and just go right on and never think a thing about it. Now, the day and hour that you are living in, people want to be great for God. You hear a lot of talk about this great man of God that's coming, and this great singer, and this great preacher. And we have just about got to the place these days where Christians are almost idol worshipers worshiping Christian celebrities. Now, I believe it's all right to have men of God to look up to. I believe it's right to have Christian heroes. I mean, if you want to have a hero outside of the Bible, it's good to pick godly men and godly women as an example. But we're living in a time, folks, when people, you know, that a lot of churches think that if they can't have some great big well-known famous preacher or some great well-known quartet or some, I mean, it just don't flip their button. They just can't get a blessing. They just can't get started. There's some preachers that if a certain preacher ain't a preaching, they just don't care nothing about it. I mean, if it ain't just their little crowd and it just got to the place where there's these few stars like Hollywood, but it's in the Christian world. around, and the average person is not even counted as anything. And I tell you, brother, this thing's very dangerous because it makes every young preacher think that they've got to be a great man of God and build a great work when God don't always have that plan for them. I believe we ought to be willing to be a nobody for God. I believe we ought to be willing to pastor a little church on the backside of nowhere, never get our name in the paper, never get in the sword of the Lord, never have a great ministry as far as the world's concerned, never be famous and invited to speak on big platforms at different places. We ought to be willing to be a nobody as far as the world's concerned for God Almighty. Everybody wants to be in the spotlight, but not many people want to just buy the drudgery and work hard for God without getting any recognition for it whatsoever. I tell you, brother, there is no telling how many preachers try to emulate and imitate Billy Graham. There's no telling. And I'm not knocking Billy Graham. I don't agree with everything Billy Graham does or says, but I'm not knocking Billy Graham. I thank God for Billy Graham. God has definitely used him to do a great work, no doubt about it. I'm simply making a point. I'm saying that there's no telling. I've heard some preachers, and you can tell, they're trying to be like Billy Graham. You know, Billy Graham, when he says world, he don't say world, he says wow. God so loved the world, you know, like that. And I've heard those guys try to say it just like him and try to do their hands just like, you know, you don't do like I do. you do more like this. All right, something like that. That's the way they teach you. They teach you to do it like this in school so people won't think you're pointing at them. Bad manners. But anyway, I've seen a lot of people, preachers do that. And I there's no telling how many have sat and studied his movements and watched his word and tried their best to be him. I've seen them try to do other things. And I'm not saying that's all the way bad. It's good to have an example of a man to follow. But I tell you what, brother, there's plenty of them would love to trade places with Billy Graham. There's millions of them that would love to be in the spotlight and have 80,000 people pack out a football stadium to hear them preach. Oh, yes, they'd really willingly do that for the Lord. But not many are willing to take off to India where they have to sleep in bamboo huts and crawl over goat's dung to get in their bed at night and preach to a bunch of old India. Not many are willing, brother, to take the back seat on God's bus. Not many are willing to get down and do the work with no credit and no spotlight and no glory. You say, well, Brother Danny, that's easy for you to say you're in the spotlight. That's easy for you to say that people knows you. I know that, brother, but I didn't choose this. This is what God put me in. I want to be willing by the grace of God, if he wants to put me in the shoe shining ministry, to get down, if my name never gets heard, tell off, and shine God's men's shoes while they preach the word of God. I believe before you can be a somebody, you ought to be willing to be a nobody. Amen. You find a lot of volunteers to give their testimony in a Billy Graham crusade. You don't find a lot that will go down to Charlotte on Main Street and tell an old black drunk about Jesus. That's right. I'll guarantee you, brother, you can count them on one hand in the average church that's willing to go to the slums, willing to go to the whores, willing to go to the drug addicts and tell them about God. I tell you, we ought to be willing to be a nobody. You willing to be a foot? You say, foot, what? Well, just think, if it wasn't for a foot, what would we say when we don't like something? We couldn't say, our hand. Our hand. We our foot. But anyway, I tell you something, brother. He was a nobody, but he's in the Word of God. It's necessary and important. We got a lot of people, girls that love to be Amy Grant and love to be Sandy Patty and love to be, some so-called celebrity. I'll tell you, there's not many. It's been a long time since I've had somebody come running up to me and say, Brother Danny, would you care if I come up and swept the buses out on Saturday? Glory to God. Now, we've had sisters do that. I remember Sister Janet back there. Was she here? Where you at? I see her. She used to come up here, and I'd come up here during the day. She'd be out there cleaning the buses. Nobody knew it. She didn't get to get up here and tell about it. But I'll tell you something, brother. There's not many mighty, there's not a whole lot of celebrities in God's work. The majority of God's people are just little workers making the big wheels turn. Amen. And just because there's a few big shots at the top shouldn't make us all want to be big shots. If you're not willing to serve, you're not ready to lead. I'm telling you tonight, brother, it's been a long time since I had somebody come up and say, Brother Danny, God just really impressed me to come up and clean the commodes. I mean, that needs to be done, you know. Dot and them girls does a good job at it. Boy, I mean, they do a wonderful job. Man, I walk in there and it smells good. A little, very short while. Everybody gets here. But I mean, when they come, brother, it smells nice. And I praise God for the work that they do. But you know, you don't have many people volunteer to do stuff like that. You know how many people volunteer to straighten up after the Christmas play, or maybe take things down, or straighten something back up, or put chairs back, or not many are willing to be up for it. And then they'll, the same ones will go home and say, well, I think I ought to be a teaching. I wonder why they don't get me to be a deacon. I wonder why I ain't getting in this. Because you're not willing to do nobody's job. I think for a man's call to God to do a spotlight job, you ought to be willing to scrub the floors. Now, there's several things I want to say. Are you willing to be a nobody? Number one, we need these nobodies. And I don't mean they're nobodies in God's sight. You know what I mean. In the world's view, there's no such thing as a nobody in God's sight in His Word. But as far as the world's concerned, they're a nobody in prayers. In prayers. Many times those who are in the spotlight get all the glory. When people get saved, when people rededicate their life, when the whole time they're doing nothing but being used by God as a mouthpiece, somebody, some nobody out in the congregation is causing the wheels to turn. Somebody out there is praying the power down. You know, there's been times when I preached, and I know good and well I wasn't fit to preach. There's been time when I preached when I know I felt backslid as a devil. There's been time when I preached when I couldn't even feel God. There's been times when I preached when I felt like I just made a mess. And you know what? The Lord just moved in there and people get saved and all kind of good things happen. And I think, good night, what in hell in the world? And I think, and then something would tell me, you know, that might be because some lady out there in the congregation is praying out on her knees somewhere. A lot of times while I'm in here preaching and y'all are sitting there listening, there's one of these dear ladies downstairs upside on their knees praying the whole time I'm preaching. Sister Becky does that some. Miss Parker, others, a volunteer. They're not in the spotlight. The Sunday morning crowd never sees them. But they're back there praying. Many times these boys sometimes are praying while I'm in here preaching. And everybody think, boy, old Danny really got the power of God. Sometimes Danny might be backslid as a devil. But if somebody back there getting a hold of God, somebody back there is causing the wheels to turn. It might be, it looked like a nobody. But God's work has always been founded and pushed on and inspired by a bunch of people in the background who never did come to the spotlight, who was willing to pray. I tell you, brother, that when a quarterback throws a touchdown, he gets the credit. Wow! What an arm on that boy! Look how he can throw that football! Everybody goes, wow! The cameras are on him. Everybody talks about him. Everybody puts his picture in the paper. But that quarterback would never throw a touchdown if it wasn't for a bunch of old nobodies down there getting their head beat in every time that center snaps that ball. Son, there's some boys down in there taking a beating that nobody ever knows about, that nobody ever hears about, and here's old somebody, you know, I don't even know who's popular nowadays, but whoever it is, and he's getting ready, hey, 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 and he throws a ball, and he gets a touchdown. Everybody, here he is on the front page. He threw an 80-yard touchdown. They a lot of time never show them boys with the bruises on their head and the busted up kneecaps and sometimes laying in the hospital who held the enemy off of that quarterback so he could throw a touchdown. I tell you, brother, God's letting me throw a few touchdowns here and there, but I can't take no glory for it. It was because some of these front linebackers, halfbackers, whatever you call them, was down there holding the devil and the demons off so I could throw a touchdown and get it in somebody's heart and they could get saved. That's right. The old saints of God, D.L. Moody and all them, everybody around anything, always had a bunch of people down there, a bunch of nobodies. They never got in the books. Praying for him. I remember one time I was preaching revival up in the mountains. And somewhere between Spruce Pine and Burnsville, I believe. And I went to church that night. And I walked up through there. You know, some of those little old churches, you can't see no houses, hardly nothing. And you think, well, there ain't going to be nobody here. And about 5 minutes before church starts, they just start coming out of the woods, walking up trails, down a little road. And there's a dear old lady come up the hill. Boy, I can't remember exactly what she looks like, but I just remember she's old. And I think she had a Bible. And she come up through there, and I said, how are you this evening, ma'am? And she said, oh, I've been down there in the woods praying all day. And boy, when she said that, I thought, Lord, you wouldn't believe how guilty I felt. Oh, man, I felt worldly. I felt wicked. And I thought, I ought to be ashamed of myself for even thinking about taking credit for anything happening in this revival. She had the wheels turning. I believe tonight, Jack Hiles. I believe I heard Brother Hiles tell. Of course, y'all know, heard of Brother Hiles. You can get plenty of his tapes there. Pastors the world's largest Sunday school. 18,000 in Sunday school every Sunday morning. Average, brother. Snowstorms works. And Brother Hiles gets a lot of glory. And frankly, I don't care, man. He deserves it. I mean, I praise God for him. I pat him on the back fire at the chance. And I have before and shook his hand. And, you know, that was an honor to me. But you know what I heard him say one time? He said, I believe he said it was a dear little lady. I'm not sure, but I think he said it was a lady. Every year, he'd give her his schedule. She had a copy of his schedule. And no matter where he was at in America, Los Angeles, Dallas, Miami, Charlotte, anywhere from north to south, east to west, she had his schedule and she had down what time he'd be preaching. And no matter what she was doing, when it came time for him to preach, she'd drop off and get down on her knees and pray for him that hour or so, ever how long, while he preached. And he stood up all over this nation knowing that every time he reads a scripture, every time he opens his mouth to preach, that little lady's down on her knees back home praying for him. I tell you, brother, there ain't many that's willing to be a nobody in their prayer life. Not many. You better watch this Hollywood type of Christianity. This PTL type Christianity. Now, I know sometimes they may have some good testimonies on there and all that stuff. But I'm telling you, brother, all of that's giving the world the impression that if you're a Christian, you're supposed to be like a movie star and you're supposed to be a big shot, have your names in light. Well, that's all right if that's what God does for you. But we need some Christians who will say, I'll never be a big shot. I'll never be in the spotlight. I'm willing to get on my knees and pray if nobody ever knows it for the work of God to go on. They're dying off fast. They're dying off fast. We need some people who will pray. Then secondly, are you willing to be a nobody in the work? In the work. Many times people in the background work long and hard and tedious hours with little or no recognition behind the scenes. I go somewhere, places to preach, and they'll introduce me, and it always kind of embarrasses me when they give me a big build-up, you know. Really does. I'm being honest. Of course, I think what Brother Hiles said, you know, when they brag on you all the time and say, and here this young man has a great church, and they're running over 400, and here, you know. I always get embarrassed when they do that, and I'm always disappointed when they don't. It's a weird feeling. You don't want it, but you don't want it. And it's a flesh, you know. It's hard to put up with. I wish it wasn't that way. But sometimes I feel guilty as a dog. When I know good and well, oh, this young man's built a great... No, he ain't neither. You know how we wouldn't have had 400 this morning had it not been for about 8 to 10 bus workers who went out yesterday and nobody's mentioned their name today. They'll not be bragged on here tonight. They'll not stand up here and say, I brought 30 on my bus this morning. Nobody, the average person in McDowell County will never know it. They'll say, oh, Danny Castle had 400. And that kind of makes me mad because I won't get no rewards when we get to glory. They'll get them all. And I'm going to get to that in a few minutes, but who cares? Let the work roll on, brother. I mean, let the church grow and let God's will be done. But what I'm saying is this, a lot of people, this little boy in the Bible left home one morning. He had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He's just a nobody. I mean a nobody. But you know what he done? He somehow or another got away through that big crowd and got over to Jesus. And he gave his 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And one of the greatest miracles in the New Testament took place because a little nobody, it don't tell his name, it don't tell what happened to him when he grew up. He was just there, a lad. I bet we'll get to see that little old boy one of these days. He was a nobody, but he done the work. David's mighty men. All you hear, David's mighty men. David's mighty men. And the best thing you hear about one of them went into a pit and slew a lion on a snowy day.
or something like that. You know, that's a, I love that scripture. I always loved to read that. One of them was a big man. He went into a pit and slew a lion on a snowy day. That's just a blessing every time I read that. And boy, I tell you, you hear about David's mighty men this, David's mighty men that. It's always David's men. David's men. David killed a giant. David played the harp. David done this. David done that. But I tell you, brother, David would have never been as mighty as he was had not the mighty men gathered around him and rallied around him and said, "We're with you, David. Let's go. Let's fight the battle." They're willing to be a nobody.
One of David's mighty men could have jumped up and said, "Well, I'm mighty as you are, David. God don't love you no more than he does me. Come on, boys, I'm going to start my own mighty group."
You'd have had the bigger mouse as you got in McDowell County tonight. You know why there's so many churches and they split and they split again and the splinter split and turned into sawdust?
Ain't nobody willing to work without recognition. They want to be the big shot, want to be the chief, want to be the head dude and the boss man. But I want to tell you something. Being the boss man ain't always as much fun as it looks.
Oh, you see the glory. You know, a lot of times people say, "Boy, I'd like for everybody to brag on me like that." Are you willing to take that gossip? Are you willing to take that cussing? Are you willing to have people call you and cuss you out and hang up? Are you willing to, if you ain't, you better not try the other part. Are you willing to criticize your family? Are you willing for them to talk about you like you're dirt? Are you willing to write your dirty letters? If you ain't willing to take the bad part, you ain't willing to get the glory.
I'll guarantee you one thing, brother. Jack Hiles, he walks through hell by the half acre. I'll guarantee you, brother, the devil gives him a fit.
And I believe as God uses a man, the devil fights him in whatever proportion that God uses him. Are you willing? Big moments seldom come. Great deeds are rare. Most are small. Shamgar had an ox goad. David had a sling. Samson had a jawbone. Rahab had a string. Mary had some ointment. Aaron had a rod. Dorcas had a needle. All were used of God. A needle, a jawbone, a string. Big deal. But God used them little things that were nothing.
Not many people are willing to be a nobody. If I ask, how many of y'all have ever heard of, how many of y'all ever heard of Jimmy Swaggart? You've heard of him. Raise your hand. I believe that just about every adult hand in here is raised. Now, how many of you have ever heard of Reverend John Geddie? Not Brother John's here. Not Geddie. Geddie. G-E-D-D-I-E. Anybody? One? Just wondering.
You say, "Who's John Geddie? He's a nobody."
A nobody?
That brother went to the South Pacific as a missionary and to an island. I don't know the name of the island in the South Pacific. And brother, he done a work for God, and they buried him, and there's a marble tombstone there today. And if you go read it, it says this: John Geddie, when he came, there were no Christians. When he left, there were no heathen. And nobody's ever heard of it. Ain't never seen his picture in Christianity Today. Or heard about him in magazines. He's a nobody.
As far as the world concerns.
But he went down there where nobody knowed him. Nobody cared. His picture wouldn't be in the paper. He'd probably come to her losing his own head.
By the time he died, there wasn't a heathen on the island. Are you willing to be a nobody for God? I must admit, it's hard for me to preach. Sometimes I hear a missionary get up here and preach. Boy, no matter where they're from, it seems like I'm supposed to go. You ever have that feeling? I feel like I'm supposed to go to all over the world. I feel guilty every time I hear one. Something says, "You might be supposed to go there." And I always, you know, that time we went to Haiti, Lord, I have never been so glad to have a place in my life. Lord might send me there. I don't know. I want you to know, brother. You know what? Most preachers have a dream of pastoring a big church in
in the Carolinas and the mountains and having a nice parsonage and people coming by and doing nice things for them and buying new tires for their car and fixing them cake and coffee and seeing them up town and say, "Hi, Pastor. Oh, it's so good to see you, Pastor." And I tell you, brother, not many's willing to be a nobody. Not willing. Not many. We need some workers. Matter of fact, I think our church is to the point right now where we need some organized workers. For example, we need some women in this church to say, "I'm willing to be a worker. If I'm a nobody, if I never get to get up in front of the church, if I never sing the choir, I want to work." Matter of fact, we'll have a meeting tonight for any of you ladies that want to stay. And sometimes I'm scared to do that because you know who stays? The same ones that are teaching Sunday school, the same ones that are doing the bus route, the same ones that sing the choir. What about the rest of you ladies? How about it? Ain't it about time some of y'all started doing something? That's the same crowd that said, "Well, that same little bunch runs everything." They have to, man, or it wouldn't get done. The reason the same little bunch does everything in most churches is because the big bunch won't do nothing. I'd like for about 20 of you ladies that never do nothing. Not involved in anything. I mean, I'm not trying to put you down or nothing. I mean, you're faithful to church, you love the Lord, you stood by, but you just need a little push. You need a little jar. You need a little encouragement. You start something like a Dorcas Club. You say, "What's a Dorcas Club?" It's a group of women that when somebody gets sick, they automatically go and visit that person. See if they need their house cleaned up. See, in a church this size, you can't always remember everybody when they're sick. Wouldn't it be a blessing if a bunch of women just said, "I'll get no recognition, I'll get no spotlight, but I want to be in a club and you'll meet once a month or something like that, and when somebody in the church is sick, we'll automatically go to them, help clean up their house, take care of them, take them to wash their clothes, do something like that. Visit them in the hospital. We need mail sent out. We're going to need a bunch of mail sent out this week for the Bible conference. We need typing done. We need errands run. We need organizing done. We need all kinds of things done that ladies could do and are willing to do it. We need a men's street preaching organization. We got enough preachers here. If we could get ourselves organized and get going, brother, and have meetings regularly and have different ones planned out to go on different Saturdays where the ones that don't have to work, some go this way, some go that way, brother, that we could be a continual witness all around the surrounding counties of McDowell all the time for the glory of God. And I'm spread about as thin as I can be spread. I can't do much more. Somebody else is going to have to step in there and say, you know, see, when church first started, I did everything. I opened the doors, I turned on the lights, I checked. Well, I still do that a lot. Our deacons do that, supposed to. They do it pretty good. Brother Marvin locks up on Sunday morning. Brother Dickie locks up on Sunday night. Brother Danny's supposed to lock up on Wednesday night. He's working second shift. Brother Dale's taking care of that. And you know what? It's a blessing to me when I'm 500 miles away to lay down on Wednesday night and know the doors are locked. You don't know what a blessing that is. I used to come home all the time, man. They'll be swinging out there. Lights on, doors swinging, heat on. You know, people just don't think. Just don't think. Instead of just coming in, sitting down, woo, and leaving, look around and see if there's anything you might could do. You see them signs up there? Them things take hours to make. Hours! You know who makes them? Same one that does the bus routes. In a lot of cases. Boy, what it would be. What a blessing it would be. Have a Dorcas Club. Have a men's street preaching club. They're just willing to take care of all those loose ends. You say, "Well, I thought I was going to be a pastor in the next week or two. I thought I was going to get sent." Wait a minute, buddy. You got to crawl before you can walk. That which is faithful in that which is least will be faithful in much. If a man ain't faithful in a little job, he ain't going to be faithful and God won't give him a big job. I never will forget old Mike McDaniels. Old brother Mike drive that bus, and I know he hated drive that bus. And he wanted to quit so many times, it's pitiful. I mean, he's like anybody else. A lot of times he won't do something else on Saturdays or on Sunday morning. Have to get in there in that old cold bus. But he told me, he said, "I'm scared to quit it. God, give me that job, God." And I said, "I'm going to stick it out." And brother, it wasn't long that God promoted him. If a man will be faithful, teaching a bunch of little old boys. I think of Brother Steve and these brothers teaching these little old boys and them preaching in children. If a man will be faithful, teaching them little bitty kids, it won't be long till God will put you on up a notch. Put you on up. But you got to be a nobody. If you ever get to be wanting to be a somebody, God will put you on the shelf, brother. I guarantee it. We need workers. We need somebody just to visit the sick. We need this Dorcas Club and this men's club. We need a whole group just to make visitors welcome. I mean, that would be your ministry. That would be your job to come in and look around, and when you see new faces, just come, shake hands, tell them they're welcome. Because a lot of times, people think, well, they'll make them welcome. They'll talk to them. Somebody speak to them. And you ever heard that little thing about everybody thought somebody'd do it, and somebody thought everybody'd do it, and so it goes on and on and on, and finally nobody did it. You remember that little poem? That's what happens a lot of times in churches. Are you willing to be a nobody in the work? Then let me say this. Number three, I'm going to move on right quickly. Are you willing to be a nobody in the government? Government of the church. Now there's a scripture here, and I know it's in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians, and I should have marked it down and didn't. Let me see if I can find it right quick. You might want to help me. It's down there where they're talking about taking to teach other to court and each other to law. We studied it in 1 Corinthians. I'm almost sure it's in... What? What chapter? Huh? Somebody's trying to tell me and I can't tune in on it. The one was talking about brother going to court with a brother and suing each other. Chapter 6. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now I want to show you something here. You'll never see many churches that pay any attention to this. I feel guilty that we very seldom ever, if ever, practice this. But it's a scripture. It's a word of God. Look at chapter 6. Dare any of you having a matter against another go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? In other words, Christians suing each other for what he's talking about. Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things pertain to this life? Talking about two Christians that have a disagreement, maybe over property line, money, something like that. And he says, settle it in the church instead of letting the heathen out there know that we're fighting. They should never know if we have an argument. Don't let them know it. Let's settle it between ourselves. But here it is, verse 4. If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. The nobodies. That's what I thought of when I started studying for this message. That scripture that said, say Brother Ken here and Brother Jack, they have a little disagreement. And they both come to me and say, Brother Danny, there's definitely a disagreement here. I feel like he done me wrong. I feel like he's done me wrong. What should we do? You know what the Bible said I'm to do? Pick out somebody in this church that most people would consider just a nobody. Maybe somebody that sits over here, somebody over here way in the back. And hardly nobody even knows their name. Bring them in here and say, hey. And I don't want to use anybody for example because I don't want you to think I'm calling you nobody. But you know what I mean, don't you? I mean, when I say nobody, I don't mean really nobody. I mean, what it means is you don't always bring them before the deacons. Or you don't always bring them before maybe the teachers or the preachers. Just a nobody. Just as the world would call a nobody, a toot. Now, I wonder why the Lord put that in there that we should do that. I wonder why He didn't say, bring them before the deacons and those that are greatly esteemed in the church. The only thing I could figure out is that many times somebody who is greatly esteemed would tend, if he's not real careful, to be partial in the decision as to what will help best benefit him. In other words, if I say this, Jack's going to get mad at me. And Jack's one of our bus captains. And old Ken here, he ain't been coming long, so I don't care if he does get mad at me. I believe Jack's right. And that might affect my judgment. But you take an old somebody right there that don't even know how to lead one of them, he'll give a good, clear judgment on what goes on. I don't know if that's why the Lord put that in there. That's the only thing I can figure out. And there may be a lot more to it than that. But I want you to know something, brother. You don't see many churches that want to practice that, do you? When you're wanting to buy a property or something like that, a lot of times we're guilty of just talking to the, not the unofficial leaders of the church. We don't really call them leaders, but they're just people that people look to as leaders. When God said, set them that are least esteemed to make those big decisions a lot of times. Are you willing to be a nobody? Well, if you are, I want to say lastly tonight, you're going to be glad you was a nobody at the judgment. Last thing I want to say tonight is about the judgment. That's when things will turn around. That's when all God's nobodies will become God's great heroes and somebodies. The other day, we went to three different islands on that boat. And one of them we went to was a place called Freeport. And I'd never heard of Freeport before we went down there. And they said, we're going to Freeport. And I went, wow, big, you know, I didn't know what Freeport was. Another little old place just like all the rest of them. And so we went in there at Freeport, got in there, and you got off the boat, went down there, and there's about, I don't know how many guys just jump right out in your face. Then taxi, 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 they want your money. They want to take you on a tour, want to show you the town, and they drive great big long Cadillacs for taxis. Really? Big long ones, brother. Taxi guy. You know, they just chauffeur you around in them things. And so we got in the old car. It was an old green-looking car. I don't know what kind it was. We got into one of them. It was about full. And me and my wife sat up front and started talking to this taxi cab driver. And they talk kind of funny. You have to be... I said, what's your name? He said, Armando. And I thought, almond, like an almond joy. And he... That was a real good description of him. Really. And I said, Armando. And we started going on down. He started trying to take us on a tour. And I said, Armando, or whatever his name. I said, do you go to church? And I was trying to witness, you know, tax cab drivers. And everywhere I went, I was trying to witness somebody. You know what he said? He said, yes. I said, where you go to church at? And he said, something Baptist church. I thought, Lord of God. Here we are out here in the middle of an ocean, brother. On a little island that probably nobody didn't even live on several hundred years ago. And meet a guy down there, 1,000 miles away. I said, where are you going? He said, I go to a Baptist church. And I said, are you a Christian? He said, yes. Born again. I said, amen. And I said, who's your pastor? And he called some fella. He talked something like born again, I saved. No, you know, and I could tell the boy meant it. I could tell he knew what he was talking about. He had the goods. And he called out his pastor's name. I'd never heard tell of him in my life. I said, you're Seitler? I said, Dr. Seitler? He said, yeah, you know him? I said, yeah. He said, from him. And that was one of Dr. Hal Seitler's graduates from Greenville, South Carolina. An old boy. Everybody's heard of Dr. Seitler. I mean, I love the Lord of God. Dr. Seitler's on the front page of the Sword. Amen. Great man of God. We love and admire and respect him. One of his boys wanted to be a nobody. And went to Freeport, Bahamas. Who in the world want to go there? Not me, man. Not me. I tell you what, I had a good time and everything, but just like everything else, ain't what's cracked up to be. Sears and the whole bit. I mean, nothing's cracked up what it be after you've been saved, brother. And, I mean, who would want to work and work? And why wish I hadn't said that? That ruined this whole point. What I'm saying is, brother, that old boy was willing to be a nobody. And I'll guarantee you, that old boy, he didn't go down there just to be a sightseer or to get a tan. He went down there with a burden and to be a nobody for God. And brother, one of these days, everybody up here, glory to God, Dr. Seitler, hallelujah for Dr. Seitler. But you know what? At the judgment day, God's going to pull up old Almondo and a bunch of people we never heard tell of. And he's going to say, all right, you North Carolina preachers, you South Carolina preachers, you just get back there in the back of the line. We got some award giving to do right now. God Almighty, you mark her down, brother. You mark her down in your book. God Almighty is going to pull up a bunch of preachers, a bunch of old grandmas, and a bunch of saints that fought the battle that nobody never heard tell of. And son, he's going to flat lay the rewards on them. You know, a lot of times here in America, we get our rewards now. People are good to us. They pat us on the back. They take us up love offerings. They buy us clothes. They do. And a lot of times we're getting a lot of our rewards now. But God's got a bunch of nobodies out yonder all over this world that live in unbearable conditions, who catch disease, who catch cold, who sometimes die on the field. One day, brother, when the roll's called up yonder, God will begin to call his nobodies. It won't be like you think. I'm convinced it won't be. We get to have them, we think, boy, I bet old so-and-so and Billy Graham, and these are great men, and they deserve everything they're going to get. I'll grant you, brother, God will pull up a bunch of nobodies first. They that are first shall be last. They that are last shall be first. Guarantee it. I heard about an old missionary one time who had spent his life in Africa, I believe it was. He's real old. And he was coming to New York to some visit his friends and stuff. And there's a large crowd of people gathered around at the airport. And welcome signs, hooray, hooray, here he comes, right? And they was all out there jumping up and down and screaming to welcome President Roosevelt. And as President Roosevelt got off the plane, they were screaming and cheering, welcome home, Mr. Roosevelt, and this and that and the other. The old missionary carried his baggage. He'd worked for God for years and years and years on the field, labored hard and sweat and toil and prayed, and just went walking off with his shoulders hung. Somebody stopped him and said, hey, man, don't you feel kind of bad? Here you are, off done all this work. Here the president comes home and he gets a big welcome. You come home, you don't get nothing. The old missionary just kind of looked at him and he said, I ain't home yet. Amen. Just kept on the walk. He's right, son. He's right. One of these days, brother, heaven's gates opened up after that, a few years later probably. And there's a great big welcome sign. Here he comes, boy, everybody. Hey, hey, sis, boom, boy. You know, the great missionary. And here comes President Roosevelt. He made it. Over in the corner. Nobody paying a bit of attention. Oh, he's just President of the United States. Here's a missionary. Brother, it all turns around with the judgment. I'll guarantee you. He was a nobody down here. But God's nobody's turned into somebody. I don't know if Foot ever made it. Bless his heart. Well, God used Foot. He brought one message on him in 2,000 years of church history. I don't know if anybody else ever preached on old Foot or not, but God used old Foot here tonight. Amen. If the Holy Spirit left Foot out of the Bible, it wouldn't have been complete. He turned into a somebody, I reckon. There'll be mamas who in the days of depression in the 1929, 30, and 31, 32... prayed in the groceries. Prayed their kids' salvation. Prayed their boys home from war. Their husband off alcohol. Stopped tornadoes and hurricanes. Caused it to rain. Put saloons out of business. Turned to fight the armies of aliens. Kept the demons off Billy Sunday while he preached. Brother, one of these days God's going to call them grandmas up who stayed on their knees and prayed during the days of depression and the war. Brought America, no doubt, through World War I and World War II. God's nobody's. I'll tell you this and I'm through. Now, some of you boys as preachers probably know this, but did any of y'all ever know a fellow by the name of Kimball back in 1858? Raise your hand. A fellow by the name of Kimball back in 1858? I didn't think y'all know him. Well, who was he? He's just a nobody. Do you know what this nobody done? He won a soul. And that soul's name was Dwight L. Moody. Let me tell you something, folks. You know what Dwight L. Moody done in 1879, who Mr. Kimball led to the Lord in 1858? Dwight Moody in 1979 preached across the country and across America, and I guess part of Europe, and he awakened zeal in the heart of a pastor of a small church by the name of F.B. Meyer. F.B. Meyer in the United States brought a man to Christ by the name of J. Wilbur Chapman. J. Wilbur Chapman was an evangelist and he needed some help and he hired a baseball player who had just got saved to do a little preaching for him named Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday held a campaign in Charlotte, North Carolina, years and years ago. Me and God on fire for God. And when Billy Sunday left, they said, let's have another big campaign. And I don't know if we get Billy Sunday back. And they got another preacher named Mordecai Ham. And Mordecai Ham came to Charlotte and preached. And one night when he gave the invitation, a big, tall young man went down to the altar and got saved named Billy Graham. And the rest is history, brother. The rest is history. Why? Kimball! Kimball! God's nobody! Won a shoe clerk
to the Lord in 1858. And the whole world's been made different because God had a nobody, brother. God had a nobody. God had a nobody.
I want to encourage you, teachers, teach faithfully that little Sunday school class that God's given you.
Every time you stand in front of them little boys and girls, there may be a duty on that bus
in that class. Do faithful the little things. Keep them bus routes going. Don't let the devil talk you into quitting. Don't let the devil talk you into slacking up. Get in there and go for God and be a nobody. One of these days at the judgment, God will make you a somebody. Let's pray. All right, and every head bowed, every eye closed tonight. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I know that tonight, if you've got your heart set on being a great person for the Lord, there's nothing wrong with having great dreams. There's nothing wrong with having great goals. There's nothing wrong with wanting to do a big work for God. I believe everybody ought to. But I think we ought to have the attitude of, God, I'm willing to be a nobody if that's what you want me to be. And God, I'll be the best old foot I can be. I may not be a Noah or a Shem, Ham or Japheth. God, I'll just be an old foot and fill in a little spot if that's what you want. May not get no credit for it. May not get a pat on the back. May not get people to do nice things for me, but that's not important, Lord. I'm just willing to be a nobody. There might be some ladies here tonight say, Brother Danny, I'm willing. I'm not even happy because I'm not doing nothing for God. I want to get in there and I just want to do something for other people. We're going to pray and stand and sing. If you need to come to the altar tonight, I wonder how many would say, I want to be like Mr. Kimball and just maybe win a little young man to the Lord. No telling what he would do. God help you. Father, I pray in Jesus' name now that you bless this one that's already come to the altar. And whoever else needs to come, Lord, you know the need. I don't, but you do, and I pray you'd meet it. I pray the Holy Ghost of God move on us now tonight. Lord, help our church. Help me, Lord. Help me just to be willing to be a nothing, be a nobody in the world's eyes. God, I just want to be what you want me to be. Not one bit more, not one bit less than just what you want.